I don't think that all rules are paternalistic. I think paternalism is when you have a rule which is more like doing it for your own good, requiring that everyone at the company exercise for 30 minutes a day is like clearly paternalistic, or organizing mandatory play dates for everyone on the team, the after work drinks equivalent, feels paternalistic to me. But I don't think that setting norms around communication, and this is maybe something that's just not entirely crystallized for me, but telling people not to respond to email on weekends feels paternalistic. However, having people install an app like Mailman and setting maybe the default for just the first month of onboarding to just say, this is default behavior. We have to deprogram the way that you've been working historically to just get used to this. This is what asynchronous means. Just do it for the first month, see how it feels, and then you can change it to whatever you want. There's a lot of deprogramming that we have to do where the defaults and the norms might take some time to change with people.
Here at Levels, we're building tech that helps people to understand their metabolic health, and this is your front row seat to everything we do. This is a whole new level.
I'll start from like organizational level concerns. Is I'm reluctant to add instant messaging in any of its many incarnations into the workflow for several reasons. One is that it's communication, if left to its own devices, becomes synchronous. And there are certain norms that it's less about how it affects the individual and how it affects other people downstream. So Ms. mentioned this as a source of concern and frustration that he had previously when we were primarily Slack, where he wanted to be asynchronous, but if he would do asynchronous deep work and then he would come check Slack, many conversations had gone through an entire cycle of decision-making while he was working and he missed the entire thing. And then there's, because it's not quantized, in that fire hose were like 8 different subjects that he can no longer keep track of. And it created a lot of anxiety. And so to solve that, he had to get push notifications for everything, which then turned it into playing whack-a-mole with Slack communication. And so my concern about any sort of instant messaging tool like that type of fire hose is that it gets, you can call it a slippery slope, but it starts to trend towards that direction. So in many ways, I'm okay over-indexing on asynchronicity. Like, I think I was talking with Ben about this, or maybe it was JM, but there was a project that needed synchronous communication, and it was a little bit clunky because he didn't have everyone's phone numbers, and he had to like find that, and then he had to text them, and there wasn't a way to do them all in a group. So it was just sort of managing synchronous things by text message, and it was kind of clunky. In some ways, that's obviously not optimal, but the trade-off is, of course, the risk that synchronous culture, and we all agree we want to avoid meeting culture, and we want to, just as a company culture and values, we want to, especially workplace communication, not to be the source of anxiety in your life. And playing Slack whack-a-mole is that anxiety. So how do we solve for synchronicity without introducing, it's like, I don't want to overstate it, but existential cultural risk that all of our communication is sort of forced into trending in that direction. That's sort of the framing of what I'm thinking about.
You know, I think the thrust of my comments were largely that I think that there is a place and a tone for setting sort of like we get to choose the tools that people are going to use in a way. There's a paternalism that's already going on. And I think we're sort of like, it's a matter of degree of like, how paternalistic do we want to be about telling people what they can't use, even if it's maybe working for them. So I'm in this interesting spot where I came in as a developer. A lot of my onboarding was, I was asking for help for people for in the code base. A lot of that was done via Slack. I didn't feel like it was too disruptive. And then I'm now in a mode where I'm doing a lot more knowledge work that's not, I guess, not coding work, I guess you could say. And so I'm tending to use a lot more Threads and Notion and whatever else. So I'm interested for us to define kind of for any tool. It seems like there's more of a definition here of like for any tool that we're considering, what is sort of permissible? Because we could have everybody crank all of their notifications on Threads up and require it to be on their mobile device, in which case it would function like a dumb synchronous tool. So I don't know that it's actually the Slack tool in particular or any tool in general that's instant messaging. I just want to find, I think some of the developers are actually using Slack in a fairly effective way that is not too cumbersome and that they could just shut off. And the expectation is that they can just shut off whatever they want. And I don't know that getting rid of that is going to actually be a net benefit if we can control it. So I guess the question in my mind is like, do we have enough of a cultural stronghold now that any new person that joins the company, the first time they accidentally ask for something in Slack, that there's a quick correction that says, I need you to put this in Threads, you know?
That's actually something I think like Miz's feedback is very good in that there was a time that if you fell behind, and this existed inside of email too, where it's like email threads were going really fast and then decision made and half the email thread recipients hadn't had a chance to go through, right? And so I think like this can happen agnostic to tools. I think Threads was the right pressure release valve for what we'll call it 90% of this kind of work. So I think like the combination of Notion plus Threads is indeed solving a real problem we have and is strictly better than what we had before. So I think like we would do good to like focus on this last 10% and acknowledging that like Miz's use case is legit, but is not currently happening now because we have the norms that I think like, I think we do have sufficient weight where we can, you know, tell people how to use their tools and say like, you know, and I'm not saying we use Slack, I mean like, this could even be your proposal for SMS. And we say, don't text people unless you're intentionally trying to disrupt them or, you know, something like that. And so no matter the tool, you still have the norms. And so, yeah, like, I don't know if that helps at all of like, we don't have to solve for Miz's problem because I think Miz's problem is solved for.
Yep.
And that it should be like, maybe we even say you should have a text expander snippet that says, can we take this to Threads or something like make it so fast where I can just like key combination to Threads and I promise I'll see it shortly, you know, kind of thing. And I think this last 10% is currently hurting us.
Yeah. I think that's an exactly correct diagnosis, which is how do we solve the last 5 or 10% of communication gap without also risking breaking the 90% that is working. And this is the concern. I was talking with David Sinclair about this. He has this issue where his email was getting really overwhelmed. So he started pushing everyone to text messaging and now it's just worse. Now it's just like completely unthreaded. It's expected to be synchronous and now it's just worse. So, I could very much see that happening. Some of this, I think, comes from the cultural expectation, which I was talking with Josh about earlier today around, I'm going to put some more documentation together on this, on the idea of project debt and making sure that we really do prioritize communication. Because once that starts to slip, especially for people in leadership, it can really have detrimental effects on the rest of the company. So, it's something that is in most companies not high priority. So making sure that we make that a priority is important. And the 90% I think it is working quite well. Threads plus Notion. So like Threads for the communication and the back and forth and Notion for the long form thought, does seem to be working quite well for this like deeper work. One of the challenges that I have with the, call it these like hybrid intermediate tools is, yeah, I think maybe separating it from the tool and talking about functionality. There are push notifications and there are not push notifications. Mm-hmm. And whether that push notification is Threads, whether it is Slack, whether it's text message, like it, that is the interruption. Does it interrupt somebody or not? And I think the challenge is that, and this is my own personal experience with Slack, is that it is an interruption. Slack is something that you get interrupted for. And then you could say like, well, you could just turn it off and then not get interrupted. But then what about times when you need to be interrupted? That does happen. Somebody needs your response within the next hour. It's like, oh, but I have it turned off now. It's like, well, then what? Like, well, then do you text them? I don't know.
I think in that case, you would. Like, I think like there is a natural escalation path where, I mean, like, you call me just like out of the blue, you like, you know, and I call you like, yep, hoping to catch you at the right time or something like that. I think that's fine for anything like, for example, for an engineer outage, PagerDuty will have the ability to cause someone's phone to go bonkers. Right. And so like that's handled. It's pretty rare I need someone's response within an hour. Like it's pretty darn rare. And in that case, I'm pretty comfortable breaking into, I guess, more personal communication mechanisms, you know. But I think like that, to me, that is exceedingly rare. And like, we use Signal now, I think more than we could, or, you know, like we could actually reduce it because, but like, that's the one way that I know if I message you, you'll see it before Threads. Like Threads 24-hour SLA. I know that if I message you on Signal, it'll be a little bit faster. And so like, I think we're just looking for this in-between space that we maybe enforce with very strong cultural norms. You know, maybe it's even things like DMs and Firehose only, like we remove the channels, right? And that way there's no natural, like if we have this culture of doing things in the open, how would I like loop in other people? And then like, and what's nice is Slack DMs are clunky enough where it's like difficult to like, I can't like, let's say Scott messages me and I'm like, oh, Helena would know the answer. Let's add her. There's no way to do it. Right. And so like, what's nice is there's a natural way of like, okay, this should be in Threads, you know, or like, you know, breaking out of whatever this in-between zone is, if that makes sense at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to suss out, Sam, like if we could come up with a framework for like tool usage, because I think that there's two things for me. There's sort of like defaults and there's sort of permission. Like, what are we going to sort of paternalistically tell you? This is what your default is going to be. Part of onboarding is we're going to set up your Slack and we're going to say, turn off the unread notifications and turn off all push notifications. Like it's just off, so that you should be able to close the app and there's no harm done. And then I think there's also permission in the sense of like, what should you as an employee absolutely feel free to just ignore for up to 24 hours or something like that? It seems like we're carving out text messages as, if you get a text, you need to respond to it. Those should be used absolutely sparingly. In the 5 months I've been here, Sam, you've texted me one time. So that's fine. And then everything else you should, that to me is sort of like the nugget of asynchronicity is, what do you feel like you can shut completely off and never feel bad about, right? And I, if we can put any tool in that bucket, I think that that's fine, right? Because I still have Slack on, but everything is turned way down on it. So I have to check in on it, but I don't even use it for anything anymore. So it's like, what does it matter?
Yeah, I think actually it might be worth going up a level in terms of values. I wonder, related to the question of paternalism, I don't think that all rules are paternalistic. I think paternalism is when you have a rule, which is more like doing it for your own good, requiring that everyone at the company exercise for 30 minutes a day is like clearly paternalistic, or organizing mandatory play dates for everyone on the team. The after work drinks equivalent feels paternalistic to me. But I don't think that setting norms around communication, and this is maybe something that's just not entirely crystallized for me, but telling people not to respond to email on weekends feels paternalistic. However, having people install an app like Mailman and setting maybe the default for just the first month of onboarding to just say, this is default behavior. We have to deprogram the way that you've been working historically to just get used to this. This is what asynchronous means. Just do it for the first month, see how it feels, and then you can change it to whatever you want. I think there's a lot of deprogramming that we have to do, where the defaults and the norms might take some time to change with people.
Yeah. I think all that's fine. I mean, I think that there's the book Nudge calls this like libertarian paternalism. It's like, we eventually give you a mode to use it on your own. So in the case of Slack, maybe it's like, hey, we just don't get you an invite as part of onboarding. And then, if you discover that you actually need to use it, you have to go through Miz to get onboarded onto it so that he has you turn your notifications down and whatever else. And then if you still want to use it, that's fine. And we've got some cultural reinforcement around. Helene just did this to me. Like, I asked her to put together her areas of responsibility and she Slacked it to me. And I could have just reviewed it in 3 minutes, but I like purposely told her, please put this into Threads just so that it got built in. And that was totally fine.
I understand.
How do you, Sam, maybe I'm still feeling like you're wanting to exclude Slack if we can, because there's like this worry about it, the entropy tending toward synchronicity. So I don't know if there's more that you want to say there. I just think, I guess, a leadership team, the focus should be sort of on the principles and the default sort of set of onboarding and defaults and whatever else that we do. That's the stuff that we can control. And I think that, look, if the dev team decides to adopt Slack for little chitter chatter, as long as it's not taking them out of flow, we're going to lose a bunch of goodwill on the back end if we like remove the tool specifically, you know, if they feel like they can be using it well.
Yeah. I wonder, like, the entropy point, I think is the fact that Helena felt like the path of least resistance is Slack, which is the case for like most people coming from any other company. It's send it on Slack. Part of it is because you get that immediate dopamine reward of they got it quickly and maybe they responded to it quickly. And so it in some ways makes the case for why it is such a dangerous tool, is that it, by its existence, it will become the default. And now we're fighting the tide. We can, with really good culture, fight it. Where it's like, if you're in leadership and somebody comes from a different culture, we have to fight this. And when things get put on Slack, we have to tell them to move it to Threads. And we just have to constantly fight that. Or we can do something else, which is we can not have that. And then we can add friction for synchronous, where it's like sending it by text is cumbersome and annoying. So you're less likely to do it. This is hypothetically, that's the principle that I'm thinking about, is how do you remove friction for good processes? How do you add friction for bad processes?
Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you're saying. We already have this fight. Like, you know, the default that every software engineer will come into is a meeting centric planning and things like that. And Scott and I were just like working through, like, we want to have a product planning process that is maybe 80-90% async. That's going to be foreign for most people. So like I think we're doing this already.
Yeah.
Really clear messaging, really clear best practices. And then like people will emulate what they see. Like if no one is messaging them on Slack, I think, you know, like I agree with you. Like it is something that we have to keep like a close eye on. I was smirking because like my market-based answer to this is charge everyone 10 cents for every Slack message.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not actually advocated for that. But I think like this is doable because we already have to do it. Like this is, there's already going to be a lot of momentum. And especially like I'm thinking through like engineering leaders bringing in, we're very opinionated how they should run their teams. And even if you have someone who's highly technical and very empathetic and you know, everything else we're looking for, we're also going to be like, I don't want to see a recurring meeting, you know, with your team. Like you don't need to be doing stand-ups or, you know, anything like that. So I don't know. Like, it doesn't scare me maybe as much as it does you, because like I see these already existing and like us needing like really good documentation and norms to be able to fight against it.
So just to steal Man Sam really quick, two things, I like the phrase deprogramming, because I think there is such a jarring experience coming into an async remote thing. And we kind of need you to commit to, let's do the cleanse, detox, whatever you want to call it. And we'll call it like 6 weeks. So maybe like you don't even get access to Slack until 6 weeks have gone by, and you sort of get the feel of like the notion of, and then you can like sort of ease into it. I think that makes sense. I think what you're concerned about, and I think rightly so, because I do share this concern, is at some point the company will probably be growing where it's going to be impossible. Like the rate at which we have cultural reinforcement is going to be slower than the rate that people are joining the company. And in that case, things will get out of whack very quickly. So I think that it's good to think about at some point the sort of person-to-person small correction around stuff, like, hey, please send me this in Threads instead of Slack, will not be enough to keep up with the amount of new people joining the company, assuming we're successful. So I like the idea of detox, because it doesn't matter our rate of growth at that point. Like, everybody's going to go through the 6 week detox, and I think they'll start to understand, at least we'll be forcing them into that way of doing it for at least a little bit of time.
Yeah. And I'm open to figuring out some way of using these tools, but ensuring that there is friction. Like, I do this for myself personally. Like, I have website blockers when I'm trying to stay focused, and I've recorded some of my workflows, like when I'm writing a strategy doc, and like, I think it was Tom was saying how he was laughing how many times I would open up Twitter and it would say block.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm not perfect at this. I still suffer from the same compulsive behavior. I just add friction so that now it takes me like 10 extra seconds. And in that time, that dopamine hit has like dissipated, and then I don't do it. And so Twitter and Slack were my two dopamine pathways that I had as my website blockers. I don't have Threads as a block website. There's probably a reason for that. I just don't feel the need to compulsively check it. Same with email. Like, I have Mailman on, I get email twice a day. I don't really need to constantly check it for new dopamine hits. So I'm really cognizant of, it's like, I'm mindful that it is really dangerous to introduce inherently pathological tools into the organization. A tool that creates compulsive behavior, that this is a lot of the conversations I've had with the CEO of Threads, which I think I've shared on Threads, talking to him about how, if we are really going to commit to using Threads, I want more features that align with our values around communication, and fewer of these, like, somebody read your message, somebody did this, somebody did that. I want fewer notifications. I want fewer of those types of slot machine behaviors. So that's my concern, is like, it does adding a slot machine that, if left to its own devices, will create hurry and compulsive behavior. Is that something that we want to introduce into the organization?
Yeah, I hear you there. I just don't know. I definitely don't think that's particular to Slack. So I think we need to solve it in the general case, because we got to tune down notifications for Notion Threads, just like we do for Slack.
Yeah. What's nice is that Threads is adding, largely because of our recommendations, they're adding a lot more controls on notifications, both on the individual and the admin level. Mm-hmm. So like, we will be able to configure on an organizational setting, the like, no more push notifications for somebody read your post. Like, we basically never want that to exist ever. There's no reason for that.
Yeah.
And so, we'll be able to control more of that. I'd like for them to at some point have batch delivery, which is something that I would totally use, is instead of the constantly getting more and more notifications, just like 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock are my times when I get them by default. And maybe there's some pathway, again, just like a high friction pathway, which it could be as stupid as Like you have to go to a separate page and you have to solve a basic math equation, and then you can get a delivery. Like that would be enough. Or to take Andrew's example of Slack, sure, we can enable it, but how do we add friction to it? It's like, maybe we do have admin controls. We can see how many messages are sent. We can have the wall of shame of people who sent too many messages. Obviously, you don't want to do that, but that's like a hypothetical of things that we can use to discourage the type of behavior.
Yeah. One of the things that I really want us to be, and maybe have a unique view about this because I came from dev, is that I want us to be very sensitive to folks that are in the blocking and tackling of the day-to-day stuff. Justin and Steph are working very closely right now on Table Stakes. At some point, if we introduce enough friction, they're going to feel not heard and they're going to feel pissed off that we're introducing friction where they otherwise don't need it. You know, I think that there's a custodianship that we have to choose the right tools and defaults, but like their job is way different than ours is right now. Like we're spending a lot of different time than they are. And I don't want it to be, it's going to come off as sort of like ivory tower a bit if we are forcing stuff that's going to annoy them into their job. So.
Yeah. One of the things that I think would be, this is just changing the way that Threads handles the stuff. It actually only became clear to me when I was writing out the long form document is that sometimes the word notification gets overloaded. There is a difference between getting an email that says a thing was changed and getting a push notification.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes, at least in my mind, I had conflated those two. Mm. And so to solve for this, I will semantically call it like an intrusion is the push notification. Mm. Which sure. is different than any other form of notifying something that something happened. So I think it's okay if we have all of the intrusions on Threads set to off by default for everything, no intrusions, but you can opt in to intrusions for different things. Like I'm actively working on a project with Andrew and I'm here to be responsive to him. And I think this will actually be the case for Andrew's role for a lot of these things is Andrew is there to be responsive to engineers when they need it. And so he can turn on intrusions for these projects or for direct messages for people. That seems fine, but it feels very much like it should be an opt-in rather than an opt-out.
I think that's, totally fine. I don't think Slack does because their like whole business model is geared up around them subsuming like more of your organization. And where like the being the place that work gets done. But yeah, ideally, I would love for it to be non-intrusive by default. And then in these fringe scenarios, like if there's an active incident, for example, that's like a scenario where I would want to turn the intrusions on because maybe it tanks 3 hours of my day, but then I can turn it off when I'm no longer needed. That seems to be a way better. I don't know that Slack has that ability. I don't know that we're going to influence the roadmap to be able to do that.
Yeah. And I think I have a feature request for Threads right now, which is the ability to actively intrude. So like I can do like at notify Andrew or something, and then Andrew will get an intrusion and it would be effectively the same as a text message. It would be pushed to his phone. And it's intentional because I need his attention right now. And That seems reasonable to me as a form factor.
That is interesting to me. I don't know what Threads' thing is. Apple just released actually like there's a lot of focus modes in the new iOS. Have you seen this? And it's interesting. So again, all libertarian paternalism, like everybody is sort of respected at their default level, but you always have that option to override and sort of notify people that you did override it on purpose. So I don't know if Threads. This isn't really in their wheelhouse, but yeah, for these like semi-sync incidents come to mind, but.
Well, it's not out of their wheelhouse because like they do have notifications on for everything by default right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I installed the Threads app on my phone, it was super annoying. In fact, I have notifications on Threads turned off at the like iOS level because there were so many and I didn't want to go through every channel and turn them off.
Yeah.
I think if it was the opposite of that, where you opt in to what you'd want to be intruded upon. That makes sense. For me, I would probably not have any, but that's not going to be the case for everybody. There may be specific projects where I'd want to be notified because there's a fast cycle time. I don't know.
What is your urgency for this right now? I mean, I feel like we're sort of on the tail end of this experience where we like hard shut off Slack. I think it was absolutely the right call. I feel like everybody is now retrained onto Threads and Notion by default. Anecdotally, there is still people using Slack. Andrew and I will still chat on Slack. Nothing substantive. It's usually around scheduling or like, hey, like here's a doc for the upcoming meeting, like stuff that like with 15 minutes before the meeting, stuff that Threads is just like way too cumbersome. And sometimes I just don't want to pull up Threads either. You know, I just, it seems like the right amount of tool for the job.
Yeah. So I saw Miz sent me the details on Slack usage. It's super low. So I don't think there's super high urgency. It's really just a question of, Andrew sent me these five scenarios. And so it's a question of, these are edge cases, but they are edge cases that do happen and need to be solved. So it's really just I'd like to get this shipped maybe by end of week and just figuring out what a good solution is for each of these edge cases. And there will be more over time that we have to resolve.
Mm-hmm. In terms of my own priorities here, some of them are just annoying. Like as in, Ben was 15 minutes late to a meeting, didn't effectively have a way to let me know. I didn't know when I waited around. Okay. Like it's annoying, right? Like we are bad at engineering outages right now. Like it's like Threads, just a bad model because things go out of sync and like, you can't just leave it open and get like updates effectively and stuff like that. That's the one I'm feeling pressure to solve first. I feel very optimistic that doing a hard reset did reset the norms, and that like if we make it very clear what is the use case, you know, that kind of stuff, and then maybe just keep track of it, like maybe monthly Miz runs that report of messages, and that way it's like an integration test. And if you notice, like I think last year there was a month I sent like 1,000 DMs or something like that, and if you notice, hey, Andrew's sending 1,000 DMs, that's a really good, or 200 DMs. That's a good time to be like, hey, Andrew, what's up? Like, what are you doing? Is there something we need to, you know, like almost like a wake up kind of thing. And maybe just like every manager for their team just keeps an eye on it. And like, the more I think about it, I like the idea of removing the channels, because channels are a way that has this undefined priority for potentially a large group of people. I think if there's an incident, cool, create a channel. And that way you can like link to the incident, but like the incident ends and then the channel dies. It like should be archived or something like that. If I think through my own stresses, it's never like, especially recently at the current volumes, it's not DMs that stresses me at all about Slack. It was previously where like there's a message in the design channel. Is that something I need to read? Do I need to click through this? Like, I don't know. And like Thread solves this 5 times better, 10 times better.
Right.
And Slack did, because it makes it very clear, like, and we're trained, like people tag me, and I'm to the point now where I don't read everything in Thread, like as in I perpetually have unread forums and I'm not going to catch up. Like if you don't tag me, right, I might not see it. Just tag me. Like if you need me, tag me. And I think it's, people have been pissed at me. So
that's how it should be. Totally. I mean, that's they're primitive, request response is super, super helpful in that regard. I probably still read, I don't know, more than half. But there are quite a few that I'm not involved in at all. It's like, this is something going on in content they haven't handled. I don't need to see this. I do wish actually for many of these, there was an easier way to unsubscribe. Like maybe there's a hotkey that we can add, just like unsubscribe.
In Gmail, I do this. I mute Threads. And it's actually kind of a sledgehammer, because if later someone needs me and they're expecting that I see it, but like at Google, there'd be an email with 100 people on it and like someone got promoted and everyone's like, congrats, congrats. I would just mute that. I would love to mute it. But if you make the feature request a thread, not only mute it, if you get tagged again, it's unmuted.
Yeah.
And so basically exactly. like, yeah, I would love that because like, and that was my feedback to them was like, I read a message and now I keep on getting pulled back into this message on a topic I do not care about.
Yep. Totally.
So I think on a specific thread, you can do that. You can change your thread specific, not form specific, but thread specific notifications to only be if you get at mentioned. You can't do that if you originate the thread though. If you create the thread, you're on the roller coaster after the whole thing.
That's funny. Yeah. I wonder if there's a, I don't think there's a hotkey right now. Quickly do that, but that'd be great if there was.
Yeah.
I going back actually, Andrew, to the specific applications. So the Ben running late couldn't tell you. What's interesting, using that as an example, I'm opening up Signal right now on the company messages. The last ones were Scott saying we're on for a meeting in 2 minutes and it doesn't have a Zoom link, which is like exactly the right use case for text messaging. JM saying that he's running late on a meeting and he wants to talk 15 minutes later, and me sending a message to Ben telling him that I'm running a couple minutes late. And so those are pretty common use cases for that. And what's interesting in the example is that those are intrusive and they are intended to be. However, Slack, I think we have agreed, is not intrusive by default. So if you had sent that message on Slack, if Ben had sent you that message on Slack, he could not guarantee that you received it because you might not have Slack open because it's not intrusive, right?
Well, so here's how I would do it, right? So I use macOS's Do Not Disturb pretty liberally. So like right now I have Do Not Disturb turned on. I wouldn't see, even if a friend text messaged me, during like the Friday forum, sometimes I'll leave it on, right? Like where it's like, if anything comes up, like, you know, cause I know it's recorded and that kind of thing. The way I would have it is I would have Slack open and ideally I get less than one message a day and I don't mind, when I'm at my computer working, getting interrupted or, you know, something like that. If I'm away from my computer, I'll see it when I get back to my computer kind of thing. So as in like, neither pull, like as in I would be decently responsible or responsive. And if like, let's say I am working through something like deep work, right? Like I block off 2 hours, Slack is just not open. So I like, I think I opt into a level such that a message would not hurt me and I would be fairly responsive to it in the cases where they come in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd like to dig into this one a little bit further, just in terms of expectation setting for the team. If you send somebody a message on Slack, do you expect that they will see it within the next 24 hours?
I am the originator incredibly rarely, like exceedingly rarely. So I don't have strong expectations. Right now I have no expectations unless people message me, because my expectation is that they don't have Slack open right now. So let's say before we hard cut off Slack, within 24 hours, yes, that they would see it. And my expectation would be they would opt in such that it's not disruptive to their work. And they would see it when they see it. Right. And so, yeah, like, I don't know if that's an answer to you, but like, my goal would be if they are like, let's say an engineer is deep in like a pull request and they're trying to get something done. My expectation would be that I would not disrupt them. Yet when they come out of it, when they go get some water or something like that, they might see it.
Yeah. I wonder, is like setting 24 hour SLAs on threads seems pretty reasonable. You don't necessarily need to solve the problem that's being requested, but acknowledging it and setting expectations is totally doable on threads within 24 hours on default work days. The challenge that I have, and the expectation is that with text messaging, it's intrusive.
Yeah.
So it is acknowledging that it's intrusive and that's okay. The challenge is with Slack or these intermediate tools is it is both expected that it's within 24 hours and it's intrusive, but it's not intrusive when it doesn't need to be, but it sometimes is, or it isn't maybe.
Well, I think you're trying to solve like hard SLA rules where they might not need to exist. And then like, it just works decently well. So like Scott sent me a Notion doc today, said, realized I haven't hit this doc in a while. I guess we can take notes during sprint planning and then go back to update it. I think that was a reason. It was very quick. It was a reasonable venue. It would be almost strange to send that over text message.
Also strange in Threads, I think. It was just like an offhand, like, hey, we've got this meeting coming up in 30 minutes. Are you thinking about this too? I just stumbled upon this. Maybe you might want this. You know, like if he hadn't seen it, there's actually no skin off my back there. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. So like, I would say the guideline is like, use it as it's working for you and don't try to force it into something it's not. I would feel weird setting a like response SLA kind of thing. Like we don't have an SLA for text messages, right? Like it's just understood that that is incredibly disruptive. Even if you're out hiking a trail, as long as you have cell signal, you'll see it, you know, kind of thing. And so, I guess I'm comfortable in this a little bit more nebulous space, and we just use the tools and we're very firm on the boundaries of the tools, but then, you know, if it's going well and people don't feel it's burdensome or, you know, something like that, then we're able to continue and able to use it. And if it is turning into a problem, we solve those direct problems. And perhaps that means it could be as simple as, you know, communication and messaging. It could be, you know, resetting expectations, could be moving away from the tool and finding something else. I brainstormed about this. Like I think you know about the tool Yak. Just like asynchronous voice messaging. In my mind, the overlap with Threads is pretty significant. They're not replacing Slack. It's Threads basically. And so trying to find the right tool, I couldn't find anything else. Like TextSpace is a great feature. Like the fact that it's TextSpace, they have audio. I can record a quick snippet or something like that. But I don't know, like maybe like one difference is like you want hard SLAs because you want to set the cultural expectations. And I'm just comfortable like people using it as they use it. And like, so like, for example, if I know John doesn't like Slack, then I might formalize my communication, bring it to Threads and something like that. If I know that someone leaves it open when they're not busy, like when they're not doing deep work and they're doing more managerial stuff, email processing or something like that, that's good to know. And so I got Alec, I don't know if that feels more amenable to you. It's like this, like you kind of just tune it. Like I would not message you on Slack. Like I know that you prefer highly synchronous, highly asynchronous. And so I would pick which one it is. And that's exactly what we do. And so like, I guess I'm comfortable just tuning that. And maybe people like, you can use Slack's like away online, offline indicators to kind of like indicate what you're interested in. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think my biggest fear with a tool like Slack is just coming back to the entropy question, which is, are we opening ourselves up to a situation where there's now a critical mass of people who are using Slack? And if you want to be involved in a project, somebody says, oh yeah, well, we're working on that in Slack. You have to get Slack. If I'm somebody who doesn't want to ever use Slack,
yep.
How do we make sure that that situation does not occur? Where if you want to
in my mind, projects should not be worked on in Slack. Like you shouldn't be thinking that you're doing the work in Slack. Like that's wrong tool. I would be very comfortable in being like, hey, let's take a step back. Let's reset. You know, it sounds like, you know, you're working in a way that's not our preferred manner of working at Levels.
Right.
In practice, I guess I have view into every engineering project. I don't see anywhere Slack would be the right tool, and I would be very comfortable telling someone that.
Yep.
I like that as a heuristic, like no, like if we're going to enable something like a Slack, you could just set the tone that like no work gets done in Slack. You know, there's no channels. Andrew and I are going to keep coming back to incidents because they are the most acute thing we're ever going to do. And Slack is weirdly the best tool for them to start out with. So you know, I don't want to index too heavily on that.
And just like fire hosey stuff. I mean, like, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 7 shared Slack channels with other companies. Yep. Not all are active, but they're very valuable. Like our one, Stripe and us, was actually really valuable as we were like getting the ID verification stuff. They were very responsive. It's unfortunate that, like, I would not want to be responsive to random customers, but they were. And so, like, that's going to exist, is like Slack is the de facto standard. The other is like, there is an integration with literally everything. And so, even if Threads built something solving for Firehose, not everyone builds against Threads because they have such a, like a minor kind of thing. And so, like, it is so simple for me to like webhook into Slack. And so like our backend has this like orders thing. And like, I don't know, like, I think like there's these like very niche outlets that are just like, I can't think of a better tool.
Yeah. I think circling back to Scott's earlier point, maybe the path forward here is solving for this with some of the deprogramming, where we're very intentional in our onboarding on explaining our communication styles, and we don't onboard people to Slack maybe for the first month, for 4 weeks, and then we give them Slack as an option, and they can use it. There might be situations where they need to use it. Maybe engineers need to be on it for incident management, but it's already created enough of a gap where they know how to communicate effectively without Slack as a tool.
I think that's fair. And I think if you go to like the emotional focus of people coming into a company, want to make progress and they want to make it fast, they're going to use the lowest friction thing. And I think giving them the permission to slow down a little bit, don't try to ship stuff immediately, don't try to bug people immediately, just explore, like take a look at Threads, get used to the tools. This is how we're using. It's deprogramming on tools, but it's also deprogramming on their nervous system in a way. Like, we want you to just feel like you can slow down a little bit without feeling bad about it.
Absolutely. So,
yeah. And I think that might set enough of the tone. We all went through it when we went to Threads, by the way. I think there was this real, like, go back and look at the thread. I think even I had some like fairly aggressive comments about like, this seems a little like, you know, parental, like telling us what tools we can use. And I think once you get over that hump of it, you're like, okay, all right, this, you know, the wheels are still turning. We're all right.
Yeah. And it feels much lower stress for me. I think it's different for different people. Like Josh he and I have talked about this. He had no issue with Slack, but he also didn't need to be involved in a lot of channels and didn't really do a lot of communication on Slack. And
yeah,
my primary role is communication. And so I'm in the Slack whack-a-mole lifestyle and it sucks. And, people in ops and support are also dealing with that. And so, yeah, it's definitely using the right tool for the right job. So as maybe an action item here, it sounds like I can have an action item here to coordinate with Miz on creating some onboarding material around this. We can keep Slack active. One of the things that Miz proposed is a Slack reset, but I don't think that's really necessary. Like, we don't need to kill it and then create a new instance. We can just have the cultural norm around it, have onboarding material around it, not have people be added to Slack by default. And so like have that deprogramming period, which I think 4 weeks is probably reasonable.
Would you be comfortable if I just cleared out all the existing channels? Because like,
yeah,
the way we operate a general channel makes no sense. You shouldn't be able to send a message willy-nilly to the whole company and like interrupt them. And so yeah, if you're fine with that, I'll archive everything that exists that isn't like a business purpose, like a pairing with another company or something like that.
Yeah, seems totally reasonable.
We're currently using a team Discord, so maybe social is the only other topic I think we maybe kind of need to have a stance on. This one's tough.
Yeah, so
I'll just open by saying my biggest concern coming into Levels was that it was going to feel very alone. And I think we had a fairly active social presence around water cooler and whatever else. So I don't know if there's a way to keep that around you know, Discord seems very like, it's kind of like a gamer tool. It hasn't gotten nearly the adoption because I don't think it has the same like kind of work feel to it. I just want to call out that there's one thing about people coming into a company wanting to make progress and us wanting to deprogram a little bit of that nervous system stuff. There's a little bit of belonging that I think is a separate issue that Slack, at least for me, did fill the gap tremendously. I was really, really enthused at how much people were sort of chit-chat. And if I wanted to engage in that, I never felt the pressure to do so, but I knew it was there and it's how I got to meet and know a lot of the people here. So just call out, like, we have a huge blind spot because the three of us have been here for a while. Even me being here for 5 months is enough. But those first couple months are key. And I don't know how we solve for the meet your people and spend time with them and get to know folks on your team, because that's how I did it. And I don't know, it's how most people normally do it, is via Slack. So I don't know, that might be a separate friction point that people feel concerned
about.
Yeah.
So I think one success of Discord is it's allowed everyone to determine their own engagement with it. So like, for example, personally, I keep it closed and I open it a few times a week, you know, and like check in. The downside is, I agree, it basically killed all most chit chat kind of things. Like, I would say it's maybe a tenth the level that used to be. And so I guess one question to solve is, what's the outcome? Like, what would be the right level? And like, recognizing that we may not be the chit chattiest, or I'll specifically say Sam is not the chit chattiest, right? And I'm probably not either, right?
Yeah.
And there's some people that like, that gives them a sense of belonging, is like talking about an Apple event or something like that gives them a sense of identity in a team. I don't know. Like, I would feel uncomfortable if we create Slack as this like almost like sacred in between space that is, you know, and you're really supposed to like tune your usage of it, and like it is the way that, you know, you can send me something and it won't, you know, disrupt my day too much, but that like I'm opting in and social. Like, it feels like maybe Discord's the wrong tool, and we have a separate Slack social, you know, channel. I mean, like, Slack allows you to sign in and out of multiple accounts. Maybe that, yeah. I don't know, but I would feel uncomfortable like being like engineering outages, integrations, like Firehose integrations, and all social chatter. Like, to me, they almost just like feel in different spaces, while acknowledging that, like, I think there's something here. People were engaging with it, and the Discord thing just hasn't resonated.
Yeah, I wonder, like, one of the things that we learned more than a year ago, we brought on somebody part-time to help us with growth stuff. And he ended up opting out of the rest of his contract after a few weeks. And the biggest reason was that at the time, our onboarding processes really didn't exist. And his number one reason was that he felt like he had no idea who our team was, and it was completely disconnected. And that was, I think, a year and a half ago now. And so that was really helpful feedback. And as a result, we started doing, I think Tom was the next person we brought on, and I had a daily call with him, I think, for the first month. And now we make onboarding, like, the first 2 weeks, much more intentional around meeting everyone on the team, on reading the documents, really getting to know everyone first. So it might be interesting to check in with people on how integrated they feel. It is something we have to be much more intentional about as a remote team than a co-located team needs to be. So I guess I have two questions around Slack and incident management. Is it the expectation that when an incident happens, you get added to the channel, you now have notifications on? Is it an expectation that as an engineer, you will have Slack open and have the ability to be notified when an incident occurs?
I don't necessarily need that. We'll have PagerDuty So like, if I need John and I need him right now, I have a way of doing that. We just need the venue that once everyone is online and going. Like, I think the last major outage, like, I had a Zoom room open for a couple hours, and I think people jumped in and out of it, but it was really bad because people, like, in ops weren't getting updated. Yeah. And it's incredibly disruptive for them to sit in the Zoom room because, mm-hmm. like, we're talking about very specific, like, instant sizing how many instances, and like, that's disruptive, but I needed to be able to give updates. And so we were using Threads for that. Found out later, like, Braden was seeing it, but like Mercy wasn't. So like, I'm actually not too worried. Like, we, for a major incident, we create a channel, we add the appropriate people to it. You know, that either I know are online or that are, you know, I've notified or something like that. And then we can link the thread, like channel and Threads. If anyone wants to follow along, you're welcome to, but like, it is operating, you know, independently from, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. The word to call out with incidents as well, that like, they happen at weird times. And there's this mixed mode where if it's dinner time and I'm like hanging out with my family, I don't want to like leave them completely, but I can just kind of keep tabs roughly on what's going on if it's in Slack, and I can sort of comment on things to look at or whatever. So there's sort of this like half attached mode that I think is enabled specifically for incidents that is good.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. We can give that a go. We should just be mindful of proliferation. Just the recognition that Slack, by the nature of its existence and the way that they optimize their product, is trying to pull us into a style of working that we really want to avoid. So I guess the circling back also to the question of Slack social, it'd be interesting to maybe ask the team why they're not as engaged on Discord. The form factor is like nearly identical. My guess is that the reason why engagement on Slack social was so much higher is that everyone was basically spending all day with Slack open and in it all the time.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, is there one more channel that I'm cycling through? Yeah. Whereas now being social takes intentionality and friction. That's my guess.
Yeah.
That's what I meant by like, we have to decide what is even the expected outcome, because maybe it's this, you know, maybe it is like not, you know, and it could also be that the problem solves itself. Like once we have more people, so it feels like there's a buzz there. Whereas right now messages are so infrequent that like you could check once a week and be fine, even if you're interested in something like that.
Yeah. I know the social stuff's important for me, but I am getting a bit worried that if we put it back in Slack, then the entropy is just going to happen really fast. I don't know how to solve for that.
Yeah.
I think if Slack had like forced, like ephemeral, like quiet channels, that would be one thing we could do. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is something that we just bite.
Yeah.
Again, look, the point is not to be social with the entirety of the company. It's sort of like to get assimilated into my group. Like I have my little tribe of 3 or 4 people that I'm going to be working closely with, and I want to feel like I'm part of that group as soon as possible. I think there's probably other ways that we can do that that probably actually aren't even Discord. It's probably just having good touch points where it's like, cool, you got a new person on your team. It's now like beers every Friday afternoon and everybody just kind of gets together and you tell stories and kind of do whatever. But like for the first month, there's a lot of like social touch points that you can kind of get to know the people you're working with. I don't think that's Discord. I actually would shudder to think it would be.
Like an interesting thing is there's no reason philosophically why Threads couldn't be used for social chatter, but I guess it wouldn't be chatter. Like Reddit is a forum. It's the same format, and Reddit's a very, very popular kind of social network, right?
Yeah.
But it's also not chatter. Like it's the form factor determines how it's used. And so like, I wouldn't want a company Reddit for instance. Like, I don't think the same outcome would occur.
Yeah, chatter is specifically low friction, and there's like a temporal sort of nature to it. Usually like water cooler stuff is like, oh, did you see this article that came out about a competitor or whatever? I'm inclined to maybe we can focus on this a little bit more. Like maybe this is something that for Jackie and Lauren and the guy that just started today, that we just sort of keep an eye on like how close they feel and what things worked for them. I think this might be I'm not rushing to push this back into Threads.
Yep, makes sense. Well, I think we've resolved all of the outstanding questions that I had. Are there any other questions you had from the doc?
No, I don't think so. I'm happy with this. It solves all my issues.
This is cool. We could, you know, I actually really like this sort of like, maybe not detox because it comes with a little bit of a social stigma, but I think there's like a, there's almost like a baptism or a cleansing into Slack that we're going to sort of do with people. You know, I think it would be fun to just sort of like an angel gets its wings in a way where it's like, you've done this, the requisite 6 weeks of like slowing your nervous system down around work. And now we're sort of giving you, we're reintroducing you into the wild. Yeah. You can sort of like be on Slack and sort of safari about with your coworkers.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's very real. I think I've mentioned this on a podcast before, but at my 2 week check-in with Chris Jones, he literally described it as going through rehab, where playing Slack whack-a-mole and coming to levels and just like getting your computer and there's nothing on your calendar and there's no notifications to check. He's like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Like there's some anxiety that builds up. And then after about 2 weeks, that seems to be about how long it takes to reprogram the brain. And then you look back on it, you're like, wow, I never want to go back to that.